All right, so I'm sure you're just beginning to get your thoughts back together for the new year, Christmas behind you, right? New year be in front of you. I thought about, you know, how many Christmas carols do we sing today? We're like, okay, well, we'll just, I think we're all at a point where we've enjoyed the celebration. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve candlelight service here. It was just terrific. And yet I'm also excited about the new year, but I'm also thinking about some of the gifts that I got and perhaps you got. I don't have gift envy, don't worry, right? I don't even actually know what you got. But chances are somebody here got something this Christmas that came with a manual. Got it? How many read the manual when you get something new? I just got that question. How many of the manual lovers? Okay, some people are just, you're just built for the manual. All right, how many think the manual is a complete waste of time? All right, I knew there's going to be a few honest people here, right? Perhaps this company, and I'm thinking about not this one. We had a graphic, it can't get up this morning. And it basically says caution. It's in caution yellow. It's in that very clear warning color. Because they probably know that they've already endured lawsuits. And people didn't read the manual. They either wound up in the ER or even dead, right? In the opening line of my new Ryobi half-inch drill driver, let me tell you what it says, which is, read all safety warnings and all instructions. Okay, really? Okay. Failure to follow the warnings and instructions may result in electric shock, fire, and serious injury. Okay, so they put this in here for a reason. Because you're not supposed to take the drill into the bathtub, right? Or wherever people think that they can somehow do their own version. You know that our Lord wants us to understand the manual. And that maybe that sounds a little trite and like, oh, I've heard this before. I really want you to hear this morning. I want you to just think with me for just a couple of scriptures before we actually look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Why would the apostle put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13? But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So the root word of ignorant is to ignore, if you think about it. You're just ignoring something that's already been established. It's in the manual. And somehow, like a lot of us, just think like, I don't need that manual. I know how to use a drill. A lot of times I think we're selective of scripture in our everyday experience. Like I'll pick and choose. I don't like reading about those difficult days in Israel's past where God seemed really harsh. And, you know, I like nice Jesus of the New Testament. Okay, I do too. But there's a lot for us to learn when we look back on other portions of scripture. Perhaps those can serve as a warning to our own life, because Israel's really pretty much a picture. They're a group of human beings, and every human being is really like them. But God used a nation to manifest his amazing power, even through their failure. So that's interesting to think when you think about a nation that he selected. And another scripture that you may have heard before, 1 John chapter 5, around verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. So God wants us to know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You realize that just because we have a one-time, clear-cut salvation experience, do you realize it's really important that we continue to grow by believing God? One of the theme verses of my life, and I can tell myself this every day, and I'll probably tell myself it 20 more times between now and the end of the week, if God be for me, who could be against me? I just go with it. I hope you do too. I hope you would go with that this morning. You know, and then that's 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So in other words, there's things to know to what happens to believers who have died. The Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Many people right now, we have five people right now in our life who've gone out into eternity just in the last few weeks. I'm like, my goodness. And I think about these families, and this will affect all of us at some point. But you can know. So, in other words, God wants you to understand what's true for the believer. And that's why we want to be used by God to win people to the Lord. We want people to know Christ because he's the author of eternal life. And John wants us to know here that he wants to know that we have eternal life. And then Jesus says to in this conversation with Nicodemus, he says, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" So you think about that. Jesus is speaking to one of the most influential teachers in Israel, Nicodemus, who came to him under the cover of night. In other words, if I get seen with him, maybe people would start to question. But Jesus has a very powerful conversation about the necessity of being born again. And Nicodemus asks very honest questions, and Jesus says, "Do you not know these things?" In other words, this shouldn't be new. Anybody who looked to Jesus, even in the Old Testament, was saved. It's not like the born-again teaching is like, oh, it's only new as of John chapter 3. It actually is it's a scriptural truth that's in all the scripture. And God wants us to look to him. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith is a teaching all the way back into the book of Habakkuk. And so the minor prophets would have taught what pleases God. It's faith in him. It's true trust in him. And we're going to pick up today in 1 Thessalonians. And today, next Sunday, and the following Sunday. So chapters 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to just give an overview of each chapter over the next three Sundays. This is one of the Apostle Paul's foundational portions of the manual of Scripture. It's one of his very first letter to the churches, likely the first of the 14 epistles, 9 epistles that Paul authored under the control of the Spirit are on church matters. And you should know that. You look at your Bible, you should see things that like, okay, this is specifically teaching for the church. God has a set of instructions for us. And I believe the Apostle Paul, just under 25% of our entire Bible is authored by the Apostle for a reason, because he was shown what the church is by Christ. And then he was able to instruct in the matters that Jesus taught him. So as you're reading scripture, say in the letters or the epistles, you're reading actually the mind of Christ right there for you and for me. So we never want to say, oh, this scripture, because it's in the red letter, that's what I really listen to. I listen to the red letter verses. Those are my verses, because Jesus spoke. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we take all of the word of God, and we figure out what is specific to the nation of Israel, what is specific to the church. And we don't want to blur those lines, because that could be very confusing for believers, and they start to get messed up, and they don't actually grow as God wants them to do. And so anyway, so it's exactly what he says in the epistle. He writes in the very end of chapter 5, the last two verses, he says, "I charge you by the Lord," under oath in one sense, right? He wants this letter to be read to all the churches. This is what's known as a circular letter. In other words, we're still circulating this letter to us here today because God has a specific plan for his church. And Jesus says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail." It can look like Satan is winning sometimes in our own lives. My goodness, beating the daylights out of me. You know, the Bible says you actually got to give him a foothold if that's happening. People get beat up today emotionally, mentally, because they haven't appropriated. That's why I think growing in Christ is so vitally important, because guess what? Satan hates the fact that you and I get in on what God wants. And I think that's important. That shouldn't scare us, but it should be a reality. Why would God provide a full closet of equipment, the armor of God, and say, "You don't need this"? Do you need it? Okay, just checking. I turn the heat down in here because it gets warm in here. And so I want to make sure that none of us fall asleep this morning. All right. You know, I love what Job says. He says, "I've not departed from the commands of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." See, that's what the believer should be thinking about the Word of God. You know, if you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, ask God to increase that appetite. Maybe it's something that you've just not struggled with enough. Because I can get up here every Sunday, and any church that you attend, you get up there every Sunday, the guy says, you know, whatever. I will have you home by 1 o'clock. I know you're thinking about the Patriots, all right? I get that. But a guy can get up here and I can share quite a bit of information, and yet my heart would be that, you know, you'd want to go home and be like, I want to check this guy out. I want to reread what he just shared. I want to see those things for the first time myself. See, the Bible really is the book that keeps on giving. You may see something one day, like, oh my goodness, whoa. And then another time you may read that same scripture and God will reveal something else. It's just amazing how precise the Word of God is, and that we can continue to grow up into our salvation. Let's read the scripture. I'm going to read all of chapter 3. It's just 13 verses. And then I'll comment. I want to make a few comments after I read this. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, it should be up on the screen as well, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may the God and our Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. So that's the end of that particular chapter 3. A very important portion of Scripture. I believe what you're really seeing here in this chapter 3 is the heart of the apostle. And I want to talk, some of these simple points are going to be on the back of your bulletin. They won't be up on the screens today. I believe chapter 3 is a visual. It's a visual of genuine ministry. It's right here. Number one, we are compelled to bring believers assurance. The ministers are comforted to hear of a believer's progress. So when I hear in my own church here of somebody doing well, it lifts me up. We call that a win-win. How many people like win-wins? It's a win for you, it's a win for me. So in other words, the heart of not only just the pastor, and I've seen this at work in our church, is that there's often a compulsion or even a compelling to go see how someone's doing. There are times I'll just make a phone call because I feel like I need to. I just want to make a phone call to somebody because I feel compelled to send them a text because I feel like I need to. Now, is every one of those times a prompt from the Holy Spirit? Perhaps. Can't be 100% certain, but I'll tell you something. When I get word back that they needed that, that's an encouragement to me. That's an encouragement to me. Thank you so much. I needed to hear that. So the believer, the growing believer, is also comforted by another believer's progress. And guess what? You know, you and I can turn these pressures into opportunities to carry these things on behalf of believers. The Bible says that we bear one another's burdens and we fulfill the law of Christ. It is amazing when we get a prayer request to the church, and somebody will say to me, you know, they'll type it out, or they'll call the, you know, the 7747 prayer line, or they'll call the church machine, and I'll just say, hey, letting you know we're praying for you. And I don't even always know how God answered that prayer, but they thanked me. And they're thanking you, because you guys, if you're here Wednesday nights, you'll see often a list of just some needs that we become aware of. And kind of that's like the late breaking news on Wednesday nights. That's the stuff that's sort of hitting presently that we're aware of. There's certainly things that we pray for and we continue to pray for. But sometimes just to know that you're being prayed for is a big deal. Sometimes just to know that you have another family who's just not thinking about, you know, I hope everything goes well in your life, but I'm actually knocking on heaven's door on your behalf. And it's a beautiful thing when people are strengthened through prayer. The reality is that some believers will grow and some will not. Some people teach that if you're truly a Christian, you'll grow. I like to think that too. I want to think that. But there's evidence that people get mixed up in all types of stuff. Lots of carnality, the cares of this life. People don't get around to maturing spiritually. They might be in church, and that's a good thing. I'd rather have an infant baby Christian in the church who isn't growing a whole lot than home just sitting around on, you know, whatever, doing their own thing, blowing off church. But I can't make a person grow. I want them to grow. We're praying for grow. But I believe that the number one purpose that this church exists and every local church is to mature the saints, so that the saints can get strong to win people to Christ and then bring them back to grow. See, if you and I aren't grounded in the Word of God, there's a bunch of stuff out there that's going to get us off. We're going to just settle for other things. You know, we live in the Facebook culture where everything is just, a lot of people just send a lot of things around on Facebook, you know, encouraging little, you know, sayings and things like that. But you want your life to be more than just catchy little phrases of your spiritual, you know, things that you appreciate. Oh, I really like that. I really like that scripture verse. I do too. But do you know that there's often a story behind that scriptural truth? Have you wrestled with it? You know, sometimes we don't like the fact that Paul says, I fought the good fight and I won the race. Right. I finished the race. Sometimes, like, you know, life is hard enough, Pastor. Guess what? The believer is promised, guaranteed, the Holy Spirit who will empower you to live for Him. So you want more of real power. Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Where are you getting that? Except by God Himself. Where are you getting that? Because the scripture says that we're to complete every man in Christ, because guess what? There's a reward ceremony coming. There's an evaluation coming. And that's why the church of the living God needs to, like never before, be very cognizant of what does it take to grow in this culture. How many people are distracted by their phone in the course of an hour? All right. Something's like, okay, you know, oh, I get it. It happens. I'm like in my time with the Lord, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, got to answer that. Like, where was I? You know, not trying to throw myself under the bus here, but I get distracted, and the phone is a good way of doing that, right? You guys know that. And so, but the key thing is, you want to fight for your own spiritual progress, but you want to know how to fight for it, and not just, you know, leaving it like, I'm just so weak, I can't get up, I can't do this. I mean, do you know how excuse prone we can be in this life? Full of excuses. But you know what? God says, I will work with you. And not only work with you, I will work in you. The Bible says that He will will and to work for His good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure that He works in you. That's amazing. He doesn't want to strive with you. He doesn't want to fight with you. God wants to use your life. And then He wants to empower you. He wants to equip you. He wants to bless you in the truest sense of spiritual blessing. The Bible says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. This should be an amen. This should be the reason you go into 2020 with full joy. Just saying. And so look at here. The apostle says in this idea of him being compelled, therefore, when we could no longer endure it. In other words, the apostle Paul spent anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months with these Thessalonians, and then he had to go. He had to go, and he couldn't get back there. The scripture says in this book that Satan actually thwarted us. But because he was hearing things about some things of the persecution, and guess what? The Bible does teach that believers will be persecuted. Some people are like, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be persecuted. Well, who does, right? welcome to the club. But he says, I could no longer endure it. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone and send Timothy. Here Paul validates Timothy. He's a brother because look at what does Paul teach about Timothy in his actual letter to Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you in your youthfulness. So Timothy's probably this young guy. He could be, maybe early 20s. Maybe he's not as distinguished looking as the other older people. And so now Paul is sending him, and he's calling him our brother and a minister of God. The Bible teaches that you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors. You have an ambassadorship given to you from God. Wow. I love that. I love that I can be an ambassador. I mean, I may be messing it up and not wanting to do the wrong thing, but guess what? God works with us. You get the gospel straight and you're thinking of what God did through His Son, God will use you. I've been hearing some stories from this Sunday school. Where's Mike Manga? Mike, raise your hand. Mike's in the back row. Mike's our active security guy around this place, around these parts. Anyway, but God's using Mike, giving him some opportunities and a willingness to open his mouth and to go places and share Christ with people. And that's a good thing. Give out the gospel. You're an ambassador. Enjoy your ambassadorship. Sometimes we just forget, when I finally get it all together, God will use me. Don't believe that lie. God will use you. He wants you to grow. That's why we're encouraging you. If you're a new believer, get to a new believer's class. If you've been a believer for a while and you want to know Christ better, get to the other class. Be here Sunday mornings. Take advantage of opportunities to grow. Anyway, so Paul's pointing out to Timothy here. He's classifying him as our brother, our minister of God, and a fellow laborer. In another portion of Scripture, Paul referred to Epaphroditus as somebody this guy has so much concern for you. And when this guy was so sick, nearly to death, the apostle was grieved. You know, they can grieve our hearts when we lose a faithful brother or sister in our life. Because they helped us. They guided us. They were there for us. And those days are like hard. You know, we don't want to lose people because they're so valuable. You know, in the world's eyes, they might be like, well, they're just, another human being. Well, to God, they're used of God. And Paul entrusted Timothy with the gospel. And he could say, hey, just as I've encouraged you, I'm sending you back to Thessalonica. And I want you to teach them what I already taught them. And bring me back some news of how it's going. I want to hear. And look what happens, he says here. To establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. That's why he was sent. So you think about my job as the pastor, you as the people who attend this church, and how God wants to use you. He wants to strengthen you so that you will be established and you will be able to encourage. Someone said that encourage is just another word to give courage. It's like you're giving them courage. You're giving them reasons to keep believing. You know, when somebody's going through a low time, that's the time they're going to need encouragement. I don't know how bad they failed. What oftentimes failure reveals about us is how weak we really are. It's just the way it is. And so I've been accused of being compassionate. Well, I'm a compassionate guy. I would want to give you compassion. I'd want it for me too. Instead of throwing our brothers and sisters, away if they've gone through a difficulty, let's figure out how to encourage them. And this church is good at that. I have been so blessed by the people of this church. You guys are doing it. Many of you know how to encourage. And you know what's really important, and you're standing for that. So that no one, Paul says, that no one would be shaken by these afflictions. See, afflictions are going to be a part of every believer's life in some way. Yes, it could come through illness. It could come through some bankruptcy. It could come through foreclosure. It can come through all the stuff, job loss and all that stuff. And that's a lot of the ways that we probably see difficulty in our lives. Sudden death of a loved one. Those are things I think about. I watched a couple of news stories just over the last few days of plane crashes, 5 people killed. Hawaii, they find the plane. 3 teenage girls in, I believe, either Arkansas or somewhere in the south, gone. You know, life can sometimes feel like it's just being ripped apart. But that's why the believer has every resource to stand their ground. So no matter what happens in our life, and that's why a healthy local church can contribute to the encouragement that each of us needs in this life. And I love what this commentator says. He says, Paul added his own stabilizing reminder that trials are not necessarily a sign of God's disfavor, but are part of every Christian's legacy. When trouble comes, Christians often react by doubting are they where God wants them to be? They often think that they've done something wrong and that God must be displeased with them. I talk to one gentleman on a pretty regular basis, and he always asks me, because he's going through some difficulties, like, Pastor, is God punishing me? I said, not really sure why you're going through this continual trial, but I think if you start believing that every time you're going through difficulty that God's just like zapping you, listen, the greatest demonstration of the love of God is that cross. Amen? And for us to keep thinking that God's just trying to rub our sin in our face because he paid for it in full at that cross, we need to enter into that rest and enjoy that, recognize the trials that we might be enduring are designed to push us up against God so that we would rely upon him more fully. That's why when you become part of a healthy local church, that church can also help minister to you, and then we see your progress and we rejoice together. We become an army for God that God says, I want to use these people to show forth my grace to a sinful world. Because these are redeemed people that I've redeemed. They've called upon my great and awesome name. They've taken my son to be their own. And these people love me, and we are not ashamed of the gospel. Amen? All right. That's where I'm at today. I want to be at that more. Okay? Just saying. I need to be at this place. Even some mature Christians react this way, as evidenced by Paul's words of reassurance to Timothy many years later. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In other words, even mature Christians, sometimes we ride a season of success in our life. It's like, oh, it's going good for me. Going good for me. I've told you the story many times. Amanda was 5. Aaron was 3. My wife was expecting our 3rd baby. And our world just came to a screeching halt in a matter of weeks. Through miscarriage, through illness, through so many things. And for the next 10 years, we walked through this journey together. And yet I saw God faithful. I remember being in, I maybe told you this story. I'd bring the kids like to the hospital, like, let's go see mom. You know, I said it with a little bit more of a smile. Okay, let's go see mom. But I'm feeling that way because it's just like they're young, they're tired, and we've done this a lot. And I just remember one of these days, I said, Lord, would you just give us a day that would not be like totally freezing, and it'd be a nice day in the city. And I get out of the car, and I'm in Boston. It's like 65 degrees. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. See, sometimes you got to thank God for the small stuff. Because as you practice thanking him for the small stuff, you can see other things that he's doing in your life. And I believe gratitude creates an atmosphere in our own heart that leaves room for God to do things that perhaps in a previous time we wouldn't have seen. I love gratitude. I love grateful people. Grumbling people, okay, I'll work with them. But they're harder. grateful people. Oh my goodness, these guys are awesome. Like, you guys are just terrific. So he continues to say here, for in fact we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation. When Jesus speaks to Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, he basically makes a very strong statement. I will show him what he will suffer for my namesake. That's not payback from Jesus, but God is going to use this aggressive, very strong personality who is a persecutor of the church. By the way, the church does not start with Paul. It starts with Jesus Christ, right? So we always want to remember that. Paul wouldn't have persecuted a church he started. So, you know, people are like, oh, the church started with Paul. No, it didn't. It started with Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell is not going to prevail. And then we see how Christ infuses this group of 12 with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then they're going out, and every believer at that point forward, any believer who receives Christ gets the Spirit of God. The Bible says that you have been sealed with the Spirit of promise. It's fabulous. Number two, I want to talk about how the apostle, look at how God uses Timothy's trip, the news that comes back, and how it encourages the apostle. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, see how faith and love go hand in hand? You believe God and you learn to love each other. Wow. And that you always have good remembrance of us. In other words, hey, when Paul was here, he like taught us so many cool things. And you came, he dispatched you to come to us to encourage us. And what he taught us, you're teaching us. And this stuff just wound up producing some really amazing things. See, when you get a hold of scriptural truth in your life, you realize there's nothing else any better. You stop chasing. It's like the writer of Ecclesiastes talks about chasing. Everything's chasing after the wind. You know, you're just kind of like you're looking for the next thing. And a lot of us do that. A lot of us have done that. We don't want to do that. It still can be very tempting. The Bible says that we're up against the battle of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So just because you've been walking with Christ for a long time, or you're just starting, you're going to be battling your old nature, your flesh nature, right? You're going to be battling the world system, all the allurements that kind of call you, keep calling you, come this way, walk here. You know, so sometimes it's like, man, I'm going to get myself so on solid ground in my knowledge of Christ who loves me and died for me, I'm going to go where he wants me to go. I want these to be beautiful feet. I'm not going to take my shoes off and show you my feet. But the Bible says that if you actually are willing to use heart and mind and bring your feet to places that God would want you to go, he actually classifies those feet as beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Man, you can bring good news anywhere you go. That's just cool. And Paul says here, Timothy is really kind of saying how this comforted us. So that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us. There are times where I just want to be with God's people. I need to be with them. I want to get back with them. And therefore, brother, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. See, this is a two-way street here. It's not like, oh, just the church gives out and the people just walk away. When this stuff starts taking root in your heart, and you start doing good stuff. Brother Mark sent me a picture last night of his son and daughter-in-law who are traveling and went to the Ark. And Mark will tell you that for a while it wasn't very encouraging, but now his son and his daughter-in-law are like loving on the Lord, and they're making room for like really good stuff in their life. And this guy's like, this is awesome. I'm like, yes, it is, brother. It is awesome. Because God starts to give you a hunger for spiritual things, and then you start to see it start to play out in other people's lives. And it encourages us. It comforts us. I think it might be Jude. Maybe it's 3 John. There's no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. That should be like, wow, we're just grateful when we see somebody making a lot of progress. Yeah, I know it's rough. We're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. I mean, think about this. God calls the believer out of darkness and puts their feet on solid ground. Do you think Satan's pleased that you left the kingdom of darkness to come into the kingdom of light? And so you're fighting a good fight all the way till you get to heaven. And we recognize every day that life is can change in an instant. And we shouldn't be surprised and shocked. I'm like, you know, oh my goodness, and I'm not making light of this, but I've thought and processed this. Oh my goodness, they died. Well, what did we expect? Right? Everyone's heading in that place, and yet God says, I've put a solution that's guaranteed in place. A guaranteed solution to deal with the death problem. Guaranteed. And Jesus is making all things new. When we see him, we will be like him. That's why next week when we look at the rapture of the church, this is healthy thinking. My goodness. And this is what happens is the believer starts to tank, go low, kind of drift away when they forget about the prophetic promises that God's word has to keep you sober in a dark day. A lot of these things in this life I don't like. But I accept the fact that they're part of a fallen world that God entered and redeemed and came in with redemption. And we are seeing things. God is working all things. He's just so long-suffering that it can sometimes look like, does God really understand what I'm going through? Uh-huh. Absolutely, 100%. God knows exactly what you're going through. So he says here, so therefore, my brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. It's like, you want to see a healthy church? Look at people who are standing fast in the Lord. That's a great church. Yeah, going through difficulty, going through trials, but they love Christ. They love Christ. And finally, and I'm hoping I can find that last point there. And he talks about how they were carried, how these believers were used. He says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. In other words, there's an endless supply from the Holy Spirit to a believer who wants to be used by God. Until God is done with you, he's going to supply you with what you need. Isn't that encouraging? You don't have to figure this. God, I want to be used by you today. I want to be used by you in 2020. I want to develop 2020 spiritual vision. You like that? 2020 spiritual vision. I want this thing to be so crystal clear in my thinking that I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to be on guard for things that are going to waste my time. I'm preaching at myself right here. I'm not directing that to anybody. I'm preaching that right here to this guy who stands before you and says, I can see moments in my own life that can get kind of wasted or not optimized. But I don't want that. I want to have fun. You guys are like the best. I look forward to what God's going to do. I think we just came out of the most amazing year that a church could experience. We started in January of 2019 asking the Lord to lead us to where he wants us next. And by the end of 2019, he has provided something that we can build upon. And so if we look forward to every other thing that we got to do this year, we got people who came to Christ this year because of deliberate, intentional ministry. All right, let's give out 500 Gospels of John. Let's do this. Let's go into neighborhoods where we might not be liked. Let's love people through a Thanksgiving dinner. Let's do things that are what God wants us to do. Yeah, it's hard. You know, I can say that it's hard at times. But it's worth it. It's worth every bit. You're worth it to me. You're worth it. And so Paul talks about how they are actually part of the carrying group that carries people to that next level of maturity and understanding. He says here, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. In other words, God, we want to go back and see these people. We want to be with them. And then he prays for them. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. The Spirit of God is also a vital part of us being directed. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love towards one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I want to be established in blamelessness and holiness, keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame, but he did that for us. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Forever to live to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ is the great high priest. He is the one interceding right now for us as we head into 2020. God wants to be successful through you. Awesome? Amen. All right. I'm in. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of calling upon your great name. Thank you for the patterns that are spelled out for us in the Word of God, the manual, that we don't want to ignore it. We don't want to think it doesn't apply to us, Lord. We thank you for these intricate instructions of showing how things get developed in the life of the church. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not without struggle. It's not without pressure. It's not without difficulty. But we have one another. And that's the power of the local church, that we would strengthen one another in our most holy faith to build one another up, that we would develop the spiritual gifts that you've given to this church, and that we would delight, Lord, in being used of you. I pray for strength for every one of us, Lord, as we exit out of this year into the new one. I pray that you'll be with our families. I pray that you would guide us. I pray for just for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, that we recognize that we're leaky vessels and that we will just keep dripping and we need to be filled up and we're weak. Lord, you know that. We thank you that this coming year could be the year that we're raptured, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. If we were to even leave this life through death, Lord, we know that the hope of the believer is to be with you forever, to forever be with the Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue to look unto Jesus. And thank you so much for what you've done in this year for us as your local body. I pray for other pastors in this area, Lord, that you will strengthen them. You will give them a fervor for you and a love for you too, Lord, as they feed their flock and they build into the church. And just thank you. I pray that but you would bless this church especially, Lord, as we endeavor to do great things in 2020. Father, if anyone's here this morning, you know them, who does not know you, never actually called upon the Lord Jesus to actually save them. I believe that Jesus died for me. I know he was punished in my place on that cross. He took away my sin. I believe he did that for me, but I've never asked him to save me, and I'm asking him right now to save me. If that's you this morning, just let me know you've done that. Just slip up your hand. Be delighted to pray with you afterwards. Anybody here this morning? Never called upon Christ before today? Lord, I pray, Lord, as we just desire to get stronger in this new year, that we would not hold back, that we would take you at your word. We would stop the beating up of ourselves. We would recognize that one sacrifice was made once and for all, and I've entered that now to grow like never before. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.